Hey, PG fans, got a dollar? Then head over to shop.premierguitar.com and check out our massive ebook collection. We have authoritative titles on everything from DIY projects to lessons in a variety of styles and advice from legendary artists and gear builders. Plus, we release new collections every 2 weeks. Check it out at shop.premierguitar.com.
What's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here at the beautiful Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, with the man, Jason Isbell. Jason,
hey everybody.
How
Perry,
are you today,
good to
man?
See you again,
good
sir.
To see you again.
Thanks
for doing this
us.
Again.
Yeah, this is fun. I like this. I like showing guitars to people.
Yeah, you're one of my favorite rundowns ever because you are a serious guitar dork.
I'm kind of nerdy about it.
You're really into it. I love
I'm
that.
I'm not as nerdy as some people, but I do. I continue. Like, I watch videos on different guitars pretty much all the time when I'm not, you know, chasing the toddler or actually playing a show. So it's still, and it hasn't, like that, the feeling hasn't waned, the obsession.
That's
you
a
know,
good thing.
It's as bad as it was when I was 15.
Well, considering what you do for a living, I guess that's
it's good.
Pretty appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. You don't see a lot of construction workers obsessing over hammers all day. So it's we're very lucky to have this job.
Well, speaking of hammers and tools, you've got a bunch of new fun toys since the last time we talked.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since we did this.
It has.
So I'm trying to think of what I had that is in this rig. I had the 335.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do these first. This one is a 61, and I had it when we did the last rig rundown.
Yeah.
That might be that, and then the Custom Shop Tele might be the only two guitars that I had. Then I think all these are since then.
Well, hell, let's
I
talk about
so.
Them.
So yeah, this one is just a Custom Shop Fender Tele. It's got a twisted Tele pickup in the neck, and then just your standard Telecaster pickup in the bridge. And
great looking.
I had them put a black pick guard on it because I like the way the black pick guard looks with the bound.
I was gonna say it looks awesome Tele. With the bounding. Oh,
yeah,
the binding,
I like that. And this is a really great guitar. This is the one that I played at Willie's 4th of July picnic, and everything went out. It was before Michael Bethencourt was working with me and putting together my rig, and my pedal board went out. I didn't know what was wrong with it, so I just plugged this guitar straight into the amp, and I played the whole set, and I didn't have to tune it. And it was like an hour on the 4th of July in Austin, Texas, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's what a Telecaster will do for you. It will stay.
I know it was hot.
It was very hot.
And it didn't move.
And it didn't move, you know, at least not enough for me to notice. And, you know, so I always appreciate the design of the Telecaster because it just really works.
Yeah.
It really does the trick. Now, this one I've had for a while. This is a April 65. So it's transition, but I think the only thing that would be post-sale would be the dots. You know, it looks like you got like the pearloid dots there. They're not clay, I don't think, but the pick guard's still green, and then it's still got the good sticker on it, you know. But I think in 65, from what I can understand, there was a little bit more wood right here. It was a little thicker right there, and for some reason that seems to balance a little bit better than some of the earlier Teles from the same era. And this one's also got that really cool four coat candy apple red.
Right.
So it's got, in the bottom, it's got that white primer, and then it's got a gold powder, and then a silver powder, and then
the candy
apple. Is that
to give it how they got the sparkle?
Yeah, I think they were just doing a lot of trial and error in those days. Yeah. And, you know, the candy apple red color over the years changes from the early 60s to the mid 60s. It's a different color almost entirely.
Wow.
And a lot of them have like three coats, and they won't have the silver, you know, they'll just have the gold and then the red on top, and they're a little bit darker. But But yeah, I think the 65 was the only year when they did all four. And I've been looking for the matching Strat, but it seems to me, and this could totally be wrong, somebody at Fender could probably tell us better, but it seems to me that the Strats transitioned a little quicker than the Tellys did.
I wonder if they were selling better or something.
Maybe so, yeah. So it's kind of hard to find a Strat with this logo, you know, and with a green guard that's not from 64, that's actually from 65. Most of the Tellys you see from early 65, I mean, most of the Strats from early 65 are white.
Are white.
And they haven't turned.
Was that, I don't know, 65, was that actual plastic or was that Bakelite or what were they using for that?
What was the name of that? It was not Bakelite, but a lot of people have mistaken it for Bakelite. Do you know what that was called, Michael?
I'm not sure. What cream tone? That was a Gibson.
That was Gibson, mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people call it Bakelite, but it's not Bakelite.
Some sort of proto-plastic.
But yeah, some kind of weird plastic that they had. I'm sure there's a bunch of people watching that know.
You can let us know in the comments.
Please tell us in the comments. We read the comments all the time. We love the comments. This is a 1960 Strat. It's got that same green guard going on. And this is a pretty clean guitar. Looks like somebody may have put a snark right here at some point. If you're watching and you have old Fenders, don't put a snark over the decal because the decal's on the outside of the finish and it will pull your letters off. So if you're going to put a snark on, put it somewhere where there's no letters. And yeah, this one's a pretty clean example. I play it a lot. I really love it. I started out playing Strats when I was a kid, so having a really good one is important to me. But I think the frets are the only thing that's not all original stoppers, on this guitar.
Yeah. That neck profile looks pretty slim.
It is. The, yeah, it's not huge. And, you know, it's a slab. And, yeah, I just love the way it sounds. It's, you know, the old wiring, so you don't have any kind of tone control on your bridge pickup. You just have to roll the volume down a little bit to kill the sting, but it does everything a Strat's supposed to do. It stays in tune. And
it's remarkably clean.
Super
for its
clean,
age.
Yeah, super clean. I got it at Carter Vintage Guitars, where I get a lot of stuff, where I've gotten in much, much trouble. But this one hadn't, I don't think, been played a whole lot when I bought it, and it took us a lot of work to get it exactly right. And I think when Michael figured out, and I believe Tom Stadler told us this trick, but tighten those two screws, and then these aren't really tightened to anything. You look at a lot of the new vintage style Fender bridges, they only have those two screws. Huh. These don't even exist. So I think part of getting the action and the tension right is if you hold it in with these and then loosen these guys up.
That's a fun little trick.
Yeah, and I didn't know it until we started messing with this guitar and tried to get it, you know, where you could do the Gilmore bands, and that really helped a whole lot. But yeah, it used to be three color sunbursts, and you know, that didn't last too long. It's 60s and 61s. 59 to 61, I guess, kind of that third color fades out pretty quickly.
I'm guessing this sat in a case in a closet at some point.
That's what I think. Yeah. Somebody's granddad probably played that one on Friday night, you know. This guitar is great. This is one of my favorites.
All right, so I got a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, we did Dave Cobb rundown.
Same one, probably. I think
is that the same
it.
Guitar?
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, because he even said that when he was doing the Nashville sound that you couldn't put that thing down.
Yes, and it just I just really sort of fell in love with this guitar.
It's a Jet, right?
And yeah, it's a Jet Firebird, 59 Jet Firebird, and it used to belong to. Is it Divided by 13? Is that the amp company that Peter Stroud is involved with? Might be. Is it 65 amps? Okay, so Peter Stroud's partner at 65 amps owned this guitar and then sold it to Dave Cobb. And then Dave told me at one point if my record sold a certain number of copies, he would give me this guitar because I don't think he thought that it would.
Yeah, I think he said a million copies.
Yeah, I think he did, but I think we figured out, I didn't sell a million copies, so maybe he factored in the streaming equivalent, but at some point he just gave me this guitar
so cool.
Because he wanted me to keep using it. And I mean, it's beat up pretty well in all the right ways, and it's a Gretsch, so it's temperamental, but when you get it to the right spot, nothing sounds like it.
There's so many oddball features, like this roller bridge is so weird.
The roller bridge is strange, the Filtertron thing, you know, with the filters, and you make a lot of weird noises with this, but it does that. Like, the thing I like about these pickups is it almost sounds like you've got the guitar mic'd and the amp mic'd. And the attack, it's almost like you hear the pick hitting like the string almost? Acoustically, huh. And you hear it coming through the amp. And it just sounds different from anything else for jangly rock
Must
music.
Must be just a characteristic of that.
Yeah, there's something about how they made those pickups. Right. And I think these are also, they were patent applied for a long time.
Oh, wow.
So they were Gretsch's PAF pickups. But both of the pickups sound great. The middle position is magical. And I've played a couple of copies of this at the Gretsch Custom Shop's playing now. Dave Cobb has one, and it's great. It's a really great guitar. But yeah, I love it.
Good on you, Dave. That's
you
a cool,
go,
cool
yeah,
gift.
Yeah, I know. Dave has given me a lot of nice things over the years. He's a good man, that Dave Cobb. And then this Les Paul was, for about a week, my coolest Les Paul. This is a 53, I believe. Larry Craig put the Bigsby on for this guy named Jason who works at Fretboard Journal. He did a piece on Larry Craig and talked Larry into shaving down this ABR1 and putting a Bigsby on this guitar. And Larry did Old Black and Daniel Lanois' guitar and a couple other ones. But these had the big like trapeze tailpiece that made it really difficult to strum. You could play Merle Travis style, but if you're going to bang on it, you need something
it's
different.
It's going to move and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
it's tough. So Larry put that on there, and I bought it from T.R. Crandall's guitar shop right around Christmas, this past Christmas, and I just love it. The neck is very comfortable, and the fretboard is like wide and flat, so you can go really, really fast on this guitar.
Love
and
that.
Of course, soap bars, you know, it doesn't matter where you put them, they sound fantastic because they've got this wide magnetic field.
Right.
And I play this one a lot. It's heavy, but it's worth it because it's checked up beautifully.
I
it's
love
got some
when
green
you start to check because you see the green through it.
Yeah.
I've heard that's an oxidization.
I guess it is. Yeah, it probably is kind of rusting the powder inside that gold coat. But yeah, this guitar is a lot of fun to play.
Are those pickups original to it?
The pickups are. The pickup covers have been changed, but the pickups themselves
are
original.
Yeah, I'm sure the original's
disintegrated. Yeah, after a while. But I really like that guitar, and I got lucky because Crandall put that up on their Instagram, and I called immediately when I saw it, and they had just closed the shop up, and I happened to be the first person on the voicemail when they got there the next morning, and there were like 15 people who had left messages about that guitar. I just got on
there
first,
call
so
back.
I wound up getting it.
Cool.
Yeah, so I got really lucky. And then, of course, the 335, like I said, it's a 61, and it's basically all original. I changed the bridge out and the tuners. Everything else is original. I bought this one from Dave Cobb, who got it from Tom Bukovac, and this was pretty much every great 335 in Nashville has belonged to Tom at some point. But this is a really, really good one, and I thought that I would never want a burst because I thought I wouldn't be able to find one that could beat this guitar. The middle position is just magic on this, and it does the thing with, like, you know, a good fuzz pedal where you can put it in the neck and then roll the volume down a couple numbers and it gets super sparkly on top.
Yeah.
And just a really, with a little 61 neck profile, it's got a small neck.
Yeah, it does.
You can really haul ass so cool. on that guitar. And I know, like, Warren Haynes' favorite 335 is a 61, and I think Bonamassa's is a 61. That's just a really good year for, you know, somebody who wants to go fast every once in a while on a hollow body guitar.
Yeah.
It just works. But then I found this. After having that one for a couple weeks, this came into my life and changed everything about being a guitar player. So this is the Red Eye 1959 Les Paul. This was Ed King's, and it was his prized guitar in a really good collection. He had a lot of great instruments.
Yeah,
and,
no kidding.
The Carters called me to come in and demo some of the guitars that Ed's widow Sharon brought in after Ed had passed, and I came in and played the Sweet Home Alabama Strat and a couple of other things, and then I saw this on a stand, and I said, is that really the one, you know, is that the original? And they said, yeah, that's it. I'm like, can I play it? And they said, well, that's why we put it out here. And I felt myself being tricked.
I was going to say, do you think they knew ahead of time you were going to get your hands on that and take it home?
I thought, okay, I've been duped, but I know that, and I'm okay with it, and I still love these people. But I picked it up, and I got lost on my way home that day, and I couldn't sleep, and I just couldn't stop thinking about this guitar. And so I called my accountant, and she said, no, that's ridiculous.
You can't
have that guitar. So I called my manager, and I told her, I need you to find me a bunch of weird birthday parties to play this year. No Gaddafis, you know, no terrible people. Just find me some crazy wild private gigs because I have to buy this guitar. And so I got this guitar, and we took the tuners off and we put some period correct new tuners, because the old ones, believe it or not, were still functional and still worked great.
Wow.
And I didn't want either me or my tech, Michael, to break one of them off and have a terrible day. You know, it's like a Toyota Corolla in your hand.
Yeah. And that old Bakelite and plastic and stuff is real.
It doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
They turn into a dead man's toenails real quick.
This actually looks original.
This is original.
Wow.
And then this I switched out because I like to top wrap and I didn't want to scratch it up. And then I think everything else is the way it originally was. The frets have been changed up to somewhere around here. I think Ed had them changed out partially, had a partial refret done, but everything else is what it's supposed to
be. Man, this has got to be the lowest action I've ever seen on a Les Paul.
Yeah,
it's
pretty low.
So low.
And I'll tell you, it does everything I have ever wanted a humbucker guitar to do, you know?
This does that thing, huh?
The middle position on this is very, very special, even for 1959. Les Paul's. It's a very special middle position. And the neck profile is perfect. You can see, you know, Ed's wedding ring. And there's a couple of little nicks and scratches, but nothing major. Yeah, no real buckle rash.
Yeah, very minimal. That's crazy.
He took care of it. You know, Ed had it for a long time. It was stolen from him and famously returned to him over a decade later. And
so do they know how this discoloration came to be?
Yes, that was originally, you know, the red all the way around.
Right.
And then this is where the tag was hanging in the window. And
that's
so the UV light faded that aniline dye and took the red out of most of the 58 and 59 Les Pauls. But in 60, they started going to the tomato soup color, which didn't fade, that darker red.
Right. But even, the it's just so beautiful.
It's
man.
Clean. And
it's
I mean, look at the corners on the headstock. Like they're sharp.
Still sharp.
Yeah. Which is kind of unbelievable.
It's pretty rare. Yeah.
But yeah, the nut is original. You know, the selector is original. Somebody somewhere along the line carved a little bit out of the G string to keep it from slipping. Which I think still works great, you know. But it's got a double white and a zebra. And then the zebra here, I think, is overwound maybe 600 turns. But also the magnet has weakened over time.
Right, because they do lose.
So it balances it out in a way in that middle position that's just almost impossible to replicate.
Interesting.
But Knopfler's 58 has a red dot here. His is not as pronounced. And then there are a couple more that have them too.
Oh,
but
cool.
That's where they hung the tag at the guitar store and put them in the window.
What a trick.
So yeah, this is, you know, as far as possessions go, that's my prized possession.
Out of curiosity, are you trying to stay off of that guitar at night just to not
wear it out? No.
I mean, it's blown my mind.
It's made it 60
you.
Years, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to drop it. But other than that, I'm going to use it. You
got the old Kolsch.
Yeah,
so hopefully
yeah.
You don't have any trouble.
That's still
that
kind of the best way to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's supposed to be played, you know. And that was one thing that I talked with Sharon about when I got the guitar was, you know, I'll take it out and play it and tell people it was Ed's and tell people how much you loved it and how magical it is, and it won't go in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, that's real cool, man.
You know, it's in a vault, but you know, not a bank vault.
Right. Not some lawyer's personal collection or something.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm glad those guys like guitars too. But I think something like this, you know, it looks nice, but when you hear it in a room like the Ryman, it really
nothing
changes.
Like it
changes something.
How cool.
So that's, I mean, I've got awards and stuff, and I don't go look at those every day, but that I look at every day. I don't have to ask permission to play it.
It's such an accomplishment to own, right?
It is.
It's
going to
be one of those.
Like, you feel like, other than just, like, having a family and taking care of them, that's about as good a career accomplishment as you can have as a guitar player, to have an instrument like that, because it's like, I'm never going to outgrow that. I'm never going to get to the point where that is normal to me,
like,
to have that
guitar.
Like
having a Stradivarian violin to
it is.
A fiddle player.
Yeah, it's crazy. That kind of thing. And there aren't, you know, they don't make any more of them. I mean, they do, but not real ones.
Yeah.
What do they say? There were, you know, like 623 made, and there's only a couple thousand left because people have faked them over the years. But
that's
the real thing. Now, this is pretty interesting. Gibson made me a clone.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and they let me pick out the top and the neck and the back and everything. And
it looks
they even got
on.
Like the ding right here, yeah. You know. And it's lighter. This one's only about, I think that one's close to 9 pounds, and this one's right around eight. So it's lighter, but it sounds great. They're making pickups without wax on them over there now, which makes me super happy.
Oh.
Matt Kohler at the custom shop just really did a fantastic job on this guitar.
I mean, if you were to A-B the two of them, would you notice immediately?
I would.
You would,
but
of course, yeah.
I don't know if anybody else would.
That's cool.
You know, and
they're doing great.
That's only because I know it's not a difference in quality of the sound necessarily. It's just, you know, this bridge doesn't bite quite as hard as that one does. That's preference, you know.
Right.
And this neck is not quite as hot as that one is. That's preference too.
Right.
So I wouldn't say one sounds better or worse. I mean, there's certainly more difference in the price than there is in the tone.
Sure.
That's a big one, you know.
That's
understatement.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I would be perfectly happy playing this guitar every night. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this instrument. And they have a laser scanner, and they scan the neck profile. So this is it's identical.
Wow.
Yeah, it took them 6 or 8 hours, and it's the exact same neck.
That's crazy.
Which is really kind of what matters. I mean, everything else you can fix, but Gibsons aren't quite as modular as Fenders. You can't just find a better neck and put it on and expect it to work. But, yeah, they did a great job, so I use this one a lot,
Yeah,
too.
Good on you, Gibson. Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah, it's a great guitar. And then, so these guitars here are my Martin signature model. This one was a prototype that they sent me. And it's almost identical to the one that went into production.
D18?
It's a D18, yeah, and we just wanted it to be as loud as possible. That was kind of the goal. And you know, growing up with my granddad and his brothers, they all played big dreadnought guitars, and whoever had the loudest won.
Had the best sounding. Yeah,
and it kind of is a litmus test for that. As long as it's loud everywhere and you don't have dead spots, you know. And they did really good. It's lightweight. The pick guard comes in the case, so you can put it on the guitar or not.
Leave it off. Oh, wow, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah, they figured out, Fred Green at Martin ran some tests and said that the pick guard can take 5 decibels off of the volume of a dreadnought guitar, which is more than I would have expected.
That's a lot more than I would have expected.
It's a lot.
I mean, it's not a ton,
but
at the same time,
it's
stopping that wood from moving.
Right, yeah. That's it. It's just cutting vibrations. And they use hide glue and...
old school?
Yeah, old school construction.
I love that the only inlay is your logo.
Yeah,
I think that
right?
is so slick.
Well, you know, you don't need them on the front, you need them on the top.
Top,
and so
yeah,
I made those extra big.
Oh, they are big.
So you can see them in low light on a stage. But yeah, we put the tattoo right here at the 12th and then use the old pyramid bridge, which doesn't take up a whole lot of space, you know, so it doesn't cut down on vibration.
Now that you've mentioned the difference in the pick guard, I wonder what this really slim profile
I think it adds. I think it adds some volume. I don't know how much, but it's for a new guitar, it's extremely loud. And then this one is almost identical. This is the production model, so it's almost the same.
Yeah, there's hardly a variation.
Yeah, there's not much difference at all.
It's got a matte.
Yeah, it's got a matte finish. And then the pick guard obviously is not on this one. So this one is a little bit louder.
So
cool. You can tell the difference in the volume of them. And I love playing those. They're consistent. We use the Fishman Aura Spectrum to... we got the Matrix Infinity pickups in both of them, and then we use the Aura. For our front of house, yeah. And we took them up to Boston and had them do models of these particular guitars. So, you know, basically I'm triggering my own recording of my own guitar and then blending that in with the undersaddle pickup.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and that works great for cutting through a band, you know. If we're having feedback issues, if I'm somewhere where the line array is you know, right close to where I'm standing on stage, I can put a feedback buster
in,
and
sure.
It still sounds like an acoustic guitar, which is pretty remarkable.
Right. Hard to do. Hard to pull
it off. Is hard. And then this guy is the weird, this is the strange bird.
Oh, is this the
this is the Dobracho? Yeah. Castle Creek Guitars in Colorado. And
how cool is that?
It's really neat.
It's
you
so
know?
Weird because it's got like resonator features, but also kind of mandolin-y in a weird
it
way.
It is, and, like, yeah. Yeah, it kind of looks like an F series mandolin.
Yeah, like with, the, with this kind of way
sharp
here.
Scoop.
And that's
but
a cool.
It's got a Bigsby, and then it's got also like... And you can tune that bender in. Now, I'm not qualified to do much of that. I use the Bigsby a little, but I don't do the bender stuff.
You play mostly slide on this guy, right?
No, I actually, I play If We Were Vampires on it, and I do it tuned down a whole step. And this one sounds good and holds that tuning real well. And then we run this one through the Fishman also. One of the Jerry Douglas presets on the Fishman.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
That dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he definitely knows how a resonator is supposed to sound.
For sure.
But yeah, this is a really cool guitar, and I've got another one that he made before he made this one that's a metal body, but obviously this one's a little lighter and a little bit easier
probably
to
travel. Probably a little warmer, too.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit warmer in the front of house.
And how cool.
Yeah, it's a cool guitar. And then this guy over here, Tom Stadler.
Oh, your Cooter cast.
Yes, yeah. Tom Stadler built this. I think I had this one.
That guy's a real talent.
He is very gifted.
Recently, and he was so cool.
He's a super nice guy, and he knows how to build guitars. And you know, he made this one so it would check, and so it would kind of get gnarly.
So it's got nitro finish, I'm
guessing. Yeah, yeah, and it's starting to get there. It's starting to turn a little bit. You know, if I did all the bad habits that I used to do, it would be yellow by now. but yeah, it's got this is a. An original gold foil out of an old like Tiesco.
Yeah.
And then this is the Lawler Supro pickup.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it works. I put flats. Blake Mills told me to put flats on it. So I put flat wounds on it, and it's great for playing slide, and it also makes some really interesting things happen when you're not playing slide. You know, you make some really good decisions. It's kind of like having a Strat in the early 60s when everything had flat wounds on it, you know.
Huh. I think the last time we talked, you said you can actually swap that pickup around and get it out of phase. Kind
yes,
of sound,
totally. Huh? And you have to put a cap to make the middle position work. So he put a cap on it to make it, you know, before if you had it in the middle position, you could only hear half of this pickup working. So yeah,
I'm sure that's a very interesting tone because those are two pretty odd ball pickups.
Yeah, they're really weird together, and they sound real different. But I love hearing. A really good guitar player play on something that sounds busted, you know, like the whole Rye Cooter thing. It's just so much fun to hear somebody who knows what they're doing play on an instrument that sounds like it's about to fall apart. And this is actually a really well-built machine, but it sounds like an explosion, you know. And then if you use it with a lot of compression, which I do sometimes, it just takes over. I mean, it's huge, you know, and with like we use the Origin Effects slide rig, and you know it's like two 1176s basically in sequence, and so it just blasts even with a clean tone. You can
now
do that.
Does this thing get away from you? Because I know that lap steel pickups or pedal steel pickups are pretty microphonic.
You can't
touch
stop
sensitive.
Playing it.
You gotta
just keep
moving.
Playing. No rests on this guitar.
Also, I think it's super slick that he did the headstock the same as the
pickguard. Yeah, doesn't that look good?
It's just cool.
Man, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's classy. I don't know why more guitar builders don't go with that old like 60s Italian fake tortoise vibe.
Almost looks like some sort of weird Buddy Miller.
It does kind of, yeah.
That's awesome.
And it'll get out from under you, but that's part of the beauty of it, you know? I mean, these old PAFs will do it, too. If you listen to the Highwaymen did a version of the Chain, Fleetwood Mac song for a movie, and I played that burst on the outro solo, and I played it through a 100-watt Marshall that's Dave Cobb's, like a late 60s, you know, Marshall stack, and I just dimed everything. And I went in the other day, and this cracked me up. I went in the studio, and somebody had marked it that day. They had marked the settings on the amp. And so they just had a line drawn at every 10 on the whole amp because I just turned every knob all the way to the right. So they had it marked and everything was wide open. I was like, you really didn't have to mark this.
It,
you could
have
just turned all the knobs to the right. But I was standing in the room with it. So you can hear when that solo starts at the end of the Highwaymen version of the Chain, you can hear the pickups go That's the greatest sound, man.
That's so cool.
That's the most rock and roll sound I know of, is when a PAF like squeals at you for a second right before you start playing it. But anyway, there's the guitars.
Well, heck yeah, man. I think you have some changes to your amp set up too. You want to take a look?
Yeah, let's take a look at the amps.
Right. Oh, you know what? Before I let you go, before I forget, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about strings and gauges.
Oh, of course. Yes. Here are the strings, the Ernie Ball Slinky 10s I've used since I was probably 9 years old. I've just used those same strings on every electric guitar.
Totally get it.
They stay in tune. I don't have very acidic hands, and, you know, they work. And I know what they're going to sound like when I put a new set on. And then we use Dunlop picks, and we've also got a Dunlop buffer, like an MXR Dunlop buffer, under the board on the switcher. And yeah, I think that's about that.
All right. Are you a metal slide guy? Or?
Yeah, I've been using mag slides, which is like magnesium thing.
They're cool. It almost looks like a mood ring or something.
Yeah, well, they do have some different ones. The one I have just looks like a drill bit slide.
Super
light. Looks like a big, heavy chrome, but it's really, really light.
Like a big old socket almost.
Yeah. And I use the Dunlop glass slides also. I used the same like 213 or 214 for years and years. And I just recently started using that mag slide, and it's great. I can stop, you know, really quickly and get around real fast.
I was going to say, those things look so smooth. It's got to be different than a, you know, like a Chorus Eden or something like that, because it's not so chonky.
You have to be patient with it, you know.
You have to spend some time with it.
Yeah, you have to really, like, you have to play with intention and awareness. If I was drunk, I could not use a slide that light. It's a sober man's slide. but yeah, I like it because it sounds like a heavy slide, but it's not.
But
and
it's
that's the
light,
hard thing to pull off, because a super thin glass slide sounds super thin to me.
Yeah.
But this one actually sounds like a heavy one.
All right, Jason, hell yeah.
Thanks, Perry.
You've got a whole lot of cool guitars.
I know. Who would have thought, man, I would have wound up with all these cool guitars. It's so much fun.
All right, let's talk about cool amps.
Let's talk about cool amps.
All right. All right, y'all, now we're over here in amp land. And if you remember from the last Jason Isbell rig rundown, this is old Michael Back and Forth. He is doing a ton of work. This guy has got a lot of stuff on his plate every night. And he's going to help us with some of the details of these amplifiers.
Yeah, Michael knows more about this stuff than I do. but yeah, what we've got here is on the bottom row, we've got the Panoramic Stereo Magnetone. Is that got 212s in there or 210s?
210s.
And those are the original Magnetone speakers.
And they have that really cool circuit that's like the vibe.
It's awesome, yeah.
What is it called?
The pitch-shifting vibrato.
Pitch-shifting vibrato. Yeah, that's
too
cool.
So we put a mic on each side, so I can hear, and it's crazy in my in-ears.
Yeah, does it make you dizzy ever?
Like, yeah, we've got the little controller out there, and like, I can hear it going from one side to the other in the ears, so they can manipulate that in the house and make it sound fun. But those things are great. They're really loud, and they're well-made, and, you know, they just sound like you would want an amp that size to sound. Then the Deluxe is the hand-wired Deluxe reissue, and we put a Weber Ferromax speaker. Weber Ferromax speaker, and we use Weber attenuators with these also.
So you can get some balls out of it and not kill yourself.
Yeah, I hate plexiglass. I hate how it sounds. Yeah. It always sounds like out of phase, and you're getting that slap back coming off of the plexi.
Well, it throws sound all over the damn place, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're in a room like the Ryman, you know, if you're too loud, you're going to ruin the mix of the show. Because this room sounds, you know, you could just stand here with an acoustic guitar and play and sing, and it would sound great out in the house. So you don't want to overpower stuff. But those two I normally use together, and then these two I use together.
Interesting.
And so the top two, it's a 64 Vibroverb and a 58 Bassman. And the Vibroverb has had the Diaz mod done, where the vibrato is disconnected. And so it breaks up a little quicker, you know, gives you a little bit more warmth at a lower volume.
Because it's not pulling any juice to the...
Not to that other tube. Yeah. My wife, Amanda, got me that Vibroverb for Christmas a few years ago.
Her love language must be gift-giving, because she gives you the coolest stuff.
I think all languages are her love language. She doesn't have a non-love language.
That's so cool.
But yeah, and she gave me a Scrabble pieces that had the word Vibroverb, and so I had to spell out the word in the Scrabble tiles before she would give me
the Were there any other words that you could spell with those letters?
I mean, I was trying to do reverb. I was like, what, did you get me a reverb tank? Or, like, I couldn't fit. It took me a long time because that's the only place the word vibroverb exists
right. In
nature is on that amplifier.
Is that on that amplifier?
Yeah, so it took me a while. But that's got the 115, and it's the JBL,
it's
right?
JBL,
that's the JBL because some of them had Jensens. And I've got a Pro from the same year at home that has the Jensen in it. And
P15P, I think it is.
Okay, but that's the JBL. And then that basement is 58. I recently got that from Rudy's. Michael found it at Rudy's in New York and called me about it. And then I went in and played it, not realizing it was the same amp he had called me about. And I called him about it. And he was like, that's the same basement.
That's a sign.
Yeah, that was a sign. So I wound up getting that one.
Is that 410s?
410s.
Cool.
You can jump the channels. And I think it belonged to George Alessandro, or at least was in his shop for a while. So
yeah,
the work is all
his.
Yeah,
he did all the work on it for a good dozen years or so.
Yeah, so it sounds amazing. And the combination of the 115 and the 410 covers a whole lot of sonic territory. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that when I got those two amps together, it was really kind of the moment where that thing that I've looked for since I was 9 or 10, you know, how the guitar is supposed to sound, just happened all of a sudden. It's like, there it is. That's what I've been looking
for. So, dumb question for you. Are you breaking this up by like rhythm slide or like rhythm and lead? Or
not really.
It just depends on the song?
It just depends. Yeah, it just depends. Like, you know, we've been covering Brothers in Arms, the Dire Straits song, and that's neck pickup on a burst with no pick, just with fingers. So what you need is something that's got a lot of top end. You know, so I've been using these guys because it gets that kind of sparkle, you know, those two together. But then if you've got a guitar that has a lot of top end and you want something meaty and sort of
thicken
warm, then those two work every time, you
for
know.
Sure.
I think the mid-range coming from that bassman just really does something with the 115 that makes it perfect, you know, to me. Anyway.
I love that, man.
If there's a combination of two amps that sound better than those two, then it's above my pay grade and I'm not going to know the difference, you know. Those make me really, really happy. And I love how the basement's just beat to hell.
Man, that thing looks like it's been to hell and back.
It's been played. And that's how a basement should look, you know. I like that tweed when it's just coming all to pieces.
I also love your old school, like, Mars music.
Yeah,
like,
stadium
amp pyramid. Yeah. Amp pyramid.
It does look like that.
Yeah, that's too cool.
Yeah, it works. And
then just while we're here, these are like little ISO boxes or something.
Yeah,
for your, okay. So it just blocks any kind of external
noise. The mics are on the inside. It just blocks. And, you know, because we try to keep stage volume low just because we're all on ears. And,
sure.
You know, I want him to have as much control
right. In
the bird's nest as he can.
So are you running every amp on its own Weber attenuator?
Each have their own attenuator.
The Magnetone has two.
It's got two
power amps.
Because it's a stereo amp.
Right. Yeah.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much two amps stuck together, that Magnetone. Yeah.
Well, sure did sound good in sound check.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm very lucky to have these, you know, finally kind of got everything together. And I'm sure in a few years I'll be finding other amps that I want to switch in and out.
But you might not want to take that old
basement on the road. I doubt that those two are ever going to go anywhere. And the Magnetone does something that no other amp really does, you know. The quality of the sound combined with that stereo vibrato circuit
it really does a thing. Yeah,
it's
the only amp
cool.
I've ever heard do anything similar is that I think Buddy plays as a Swart amps,
yeah,
and they
Swartz.
Have some sort of weird
yeah
it's
they
a
do
different
have a
kind
crazy
of circuit
vibrato.
But it like whoo, it'll make you feel some kind of way when you're listening to it.
Yeah, and I like that, you know. I like that a lot.
Love it. All right, and then on to
pedals.
All right, y'all, the last time we talked pedals, you had a bunch of rack stuff that you're controlling with the RJM Mastermind. Oh, thanks for the cool little shout out, by the way. We had I edited
he
the whole
did that. I didn't know it
that
was
so
either.
Cool. I edited that whole thing and didn't even pick up on that until one of the fans in the comments was like, oh man, did you all check this out? Because it was only in like one little spot.
Easter egg.
Love that.
Like,
well, you had
games.
A lot less MIDI stuff going on.
Yeah, three MIDI components in the first run. And I think we're at 14 MIDI devices now. And you know, we're not using every bit of MIDI all the time,
cool.
But a lot of functionality that's been tapped and has yet to be tapped.
Sure. All right, well, let's just start from the top and work our way down there. Where you got the, what is that, the Aura?
Yeah, these are the Fish Menorahs. We've got three of those, one for the Dobrado, one for each of the
guitar,
D18s. Sure. And then a Blue Note. The Blue Note I use sometimes a little bit as an EQ if I want to make like a neck humbucker a little bit more trebly. I'll do that. And then also just as a little bit of a gain stage.
A little bit of a stuff,
yeah. Yeah, I like that pedal. It's J-Rocket. Yeah, J-Rocket Audio.
They make some really cool stuff.
They make cool stuff, and I've had that a long time, and you know, it does that tube screamer thing real well. And then here we have Superfun. This is the Superfun tray.
Oh, baby.
So that's the slide rig, Origin Effects. That's a big one. They make a small one.
They make a little
one
now, right?
Yeah, but this was their original design. And yeah, it's like two studio compressors in sequence.
Like having outboard gear right in your rig.
It is.
That's so cool.
And you can get the Lowell George clean slide sound, but super, super squashed. So you get all the sustain that you want. And then this Analog Man Sun Lion is the Fuzz Face and the Beano Boost together in one pedal. And I think that might be the first one of those that he made. I think we sent it back to him to get some work done. He was like, this is the first one I sent out. Yeah. And I got that from Mark Ford years ago. We were on tour when I was in the Drive-By Truckers. We were out with the Black Crows, and Mark gave me that pedal.
Killer.
And so it's faded. You know, you can't even really see the sticker anymore, but it sounds so good.
So are you using both sides of that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Both sides. And King of Tone also from Analog Man. And then this compressor, I had him put a fourth knob, a mix knob on his three knob compressor. It works great. That's the one that's like not really an effect, you know, that's more of a conditioning
just
compression,
mm-hmm.
kind of to take the single coils up to where they need to be.
Almost an EQ kind of thing. In a way,
yeah, right? Really.
Of course you got that.
Yeah, the Klon Centaur.
Is that the same? You've had that same one.
That's the same one. And that's definitely the pedal that I use the most. You know, because it just does its thing better than anything else, you know?
Well, because I'm, believe it or not, this is the highest paid gig in the world. I love my job more than anything, but I've never gotten to AB the KTR or the gold face or the silver face.
Yeah.
Do you notice the tonal difference in those?
I can't tell the difference between the gold and the silver.
Okay.
I can tell the difference between the KTR.
You can.
And the other two. Yeah. Well,
that makes sense as a PC board and not
I can tell a little bit of a difference. And, you know, this is the kind of pedal that's not, I look at it like it's 3 to 5% better than all of the really good versions of it. It's not a whole world of difference. There's barely any difference, but there's enough to where if that's the sound you want, that's the only way I've figured out to get it.
I mean, so many people make Klon clones
that
are close.
Yeah, that are very, very close, and you know, you can use other things to make it get that extra 5% probably, but if you want one pedal that does that particular, and we use it low gain, you know, kick the treble and the output up, and don't put a whole lot of gain in there, just to basically condition the sound.
Sure.
A little bit of a boost and it just sort of expands everything. And then down here we have a Electro Harmonix Micro Pog back
always
here.
Always a fun pedal.
Yeah, you have to have one of those if you're going to play guitar nowadays. You have to have a Pog because you can't play guitar unless you have at least one song that has a Pog on it. It's a law. It's a law now.
I've heard they passed that. Nashville actually passed
that law. Yes, it's called the Jack White Law. You have to have a Pog. I do like it though. It's a really cool pedal.
Man.
Yeah, H9, which I think lately the only thing I've been using the H9 for is the cocked Clyde wah. Like we found a setting on there that sounded like a picture wah cocked, and you know, like the Money for Nothing tone, and that's really all I've got, but it's obviously got an infinite array of sounds.
You almost need a full education on those things.
Yeah, you need six months to figure out everything that'll do.
A while.
And then the Analog Man delay, I use this one for like a slapback delay, and then I use the Tonal Recall Chase Bliss for a longer
washy
delay, and then I've got a controller over there where I can hit that and make the tails continue, so I can kind of do some crazy stuff with that. And then what all do we have here? We got the Dark World Reverb,
a super cool pedal.
That's a really, and like the Chase Bliss stuff is,
it's rad.
I think it's unique.
You know what I love about it? All those little, you can really sculpt your tone with those.
Yeah.
Almost infinitely, almost like a H9 where anybody could buy a pedal and get that tone, but with his pedals, you can really
tweak it out. I mean, they've got all these little switches back here on the back.
I mean, I think we're dorks, and no offense, Joel, you're one of my favorite people, but man, he's into some dorky stuff.
Yeah, and I'm glad that he's people like him out there doing that, so we can find the weird little sounds that inspire us, you know. But yeah, then we've got the Condor and the Gravitas tremolo, which that one too, I don't even really know how to operate the tremolo as well as I should at this point, because it does so many different things.
Well, dang. Other than your controller, which is what you've got, you're running that RJM
people
mastermind.
Are gonna ask about this, Mike.
Oh, I was gonna leave that till the end, because we had a conversation.
We should have hit it. We were gonna hide it so people didn't buy those.
Yeah.
This one's Michael's pedal.
It's a little secret sauce.
It is a secret. It's DML-10 Ibanez modulation and delay. And we're not really using it for its intended purpose, would you say?
No. There's no audible delay to it.
Kind of just turn the delay all the way down.
With that pedal, you can go down to 0.9 milliseconds, so it's you can't hear it.
So just do nothing, like a weird.
We've basically using it as a comb filter.
Oh wow!
And then when you add a little bit of modulation, very very slow and very very narrow. The closest thing is a flanger. But we're using it in a really transparent
way. Like an impossibly low flange.
It just kind of adds a little bit of a breath to what's going on.
It just expands things a little bit. You know?
It's funny, those pedals that I bought when I was a kid, and I'm like, I don't like this. Threw it away.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that.
Go back and find one good use for all
good
those pedals.
Good luck, yeah.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
I mean, a lot of the great, instruments are accidents, like, Wurlitzer was supposed to sound like a grand piano. That's what they were shooting for. And they missed severely and made something cool.
Awesome.
So
yeah, what
even your old pieces of crap, not saying that's what that is, but if you have something laying around that you don't like at all,
hold on to it.
And then go back and mess with it again, because you might find something accidental in there that you like.
Yeah, what are the chances? That's funny. It's almost like seeing a Metal Zone pedal on some chicken picker's board or something
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a trip. And I know they're about to open doors, so we don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay.
You're still running that RJM, which just
Michael?
Helps you.
Yep, all RJM stuff. Similar setup to last time. They've added some features in their controllers with like little hidden functions, hold functions in the buttons that we use.
Cool.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Some really powerful technology. And handy, too, when you got all this going on.
I mean, as somebody who's singing and playing a lot of guitar at the same time, it changed my world to just be able to hit one button.
Shit,
and
I can barely walk and talk at the same time.
I was doing this all night before we got that RJM set up, and Michael put it all together. Now I can hit a button and it makes a sound, and then I go to the solo, I hit another button and it makes that sound. So it's great.
Love
it's really
it.
Really good.
Well, y'all, thanks so much for
Perry,
taking
thank you.
Hey, man,
appreciate
it's always
y'all.
A pleasure.
Thanks
it's always
coming.
A fun rundown with you. We're gonna get the rest of the guys in the band
good.
Real quick and get out of your hair.
All right, have all a right. great night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, now here we are stage right with a man with the coolest name in show business, Sadler Vaden, the peanut butter filled pretzel guy.
This is a rhyme and tradition. It's essential to good tone.
I've heard some old wives' tales about peanut butter pretzels getting a little oil on your fingers and making.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You play
better. Yeah, that's probably true.
There's a ton of tonality.
Yeah, yeah. This is good, you get some good rock moves. After you eat some of these, so yeah.
Heck yeah. Well,
thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Since the last time we talked, I think in 2015, so it's been a while. You got some new fun toys.
I got some new friends.
Let's take a gander at what you got going on.
Down here. Let's start here. This is my custom shop Tele that Fender built for me last year, and.
Butterscotch, babe.
Yeah, and it's a killer guitar. I based it off of a 51 Nocaster, and I went with like the 60 style neck, and it's got a 9.25 fretboard radius.
How cool is that? Just to pick everything.
I know it was pretty fun.
Oh man.
Yeah, I demoed some amps for them last year, and you know they let me. They were kind enough to let me build a guitar, and so
not a bad payment.
Yeah, and that's so cool. Yeah, man, these are Twisted Telly pickups. They sound great. Jason recommended those, and I'm happy with it. Got a medium relic job on it.
They did a killer
which
job.
I think's cool.
Their
yeah,
custom
looks
shop
awesome.
Already kills it. Always yeah. kills it. Yeah, and the checking is just right and everything.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, they really
love
did
that.
A good job.
Yeah, and the fretboard looks really good too.
Yeah, this guitar rocks. So
it rules.
Yeah.
What kind of songs are you playing that on?
So I play this on Hope the High Road, and I'm trying to think of what other songs. Sometimes Alabama Pines.
Cool.
Anxiety, play it on that. Yeah, I got medium jumbo frets on it, which I like really gives you something to grab a hold of. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're just not gonna miss the chord with those frets. So, yeah, love this guitar. It's a great guitar.
Very pretty guitar.
Yeah, and this next guitar here, I went into the B Bender territory.
Oh, a little Tokai. Huh?
Yeah, this is I believe it's an 81. I got it Carter Vintage. It's a Tokai Breezy sound.
Breezy sound.
Yeah, and it's got the Parsons string bender.
Cool.
So that's legit right there.
Yeah, those are super
and,
fun.
And I got a Moody strap on here,
really
which
nice
I thought
strap.
was yeah. a nice touch to this guitar. Made in Japan, and it's got a good neck. Pickups sound good. I don't know what the pickups are. I think they're stock, but
yeah.
they sound good.
Man, the Japanese put a lot of attention and time
yeah.
into guitars.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm you know, happy with this guitar.
I love the contour on the back of the neck. It's so, it's yeah. just a little bit different, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah, and I've been starting to do some cool, like, non-country-ish, you know, stuff with the bender, like octave bends and more like blues pentatonic, Jimmy Page
some
style
Zeppelin-y
stuff.
Stuff. Yeah, that's yeah. cool.
Yeah, awesome guitar.
That one's rad.
Let's go into...
Oh, we got all kinds of tellies here today.
Yeah, yeah, we'll start with the tellies.
All right, yeah.
This one made an appearance on the last Rig Rundown. Yeah. And just, you know, Tele Custom. I think it's made in Mexico. Got Fralin pickups. This is a wide range. This is a split rail. The wide range is a nice beefy pickup.
It's somewhere in between a Bucker and a single coil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep this one in open G for the most part. And play some slide on it. And it's just a rock and roll machine. This sounds great.
It's cool looking too. I love yeah. that black on black pickguard.
And these split rails are a little hot, but I like it. Like it's get pretty spanky on it. So yeah, this
yeah.
is a great guitar.
It's beautiful.
Had it for a while. It's nice. I think original fuzz strap on this one.
Oh yeah, look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah, a little shout out to those guys.
Now this is your go-to number one.
Yeah, this is my baby girl right here. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great guitar.
Yeah, this, I don't know, man, this guitar just is like an extension of me. It just feels, I just feel at home when I'm playing this guitar.
Was an SG, you know, one of the first good guitars you ever got, or?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would say that, yeah. And it wasn't this SG, but I've always liked SGs. You know, I'm a big Pete Townsend fan, Zappa fan, like, I don't know, I just always kind of was drawn to the SG. And I think they are pretty versatile for you know, to be a Gibson, like I think the SG can get
a lot of different tones, yeah.
For sure. And this is a 59 Seymour Duncan and a Pearly Gates. And those pickups sound great together, like middle position on this guitar.
Sweet spot, huh?
Pretty great. Yeah.
That's a beautiful hunk of wood for sure.
Yeah.
What year did you say that one is?
This is a 2005.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you had it since then?
I've had it since probably 2007 or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's my main squeeze right there. I still love Honor. This is a 2015 custom shop. Les Paul VOS, got the 60s neck on it.
Rock and roll.
Gibson was nice enough to give this to me a few years ago. And yeah, man, this guitar just kicks major ass. I got Oxfor pickups in it. Mark Stowe at Oxfor, he kind of did the winding on these to be sort of like Page's number one.
Sick.
And yeah, so kind of a little hat tip to the man Jimmy Page on this guitar, and we actually did the coil tap, so that taps the bridge pickup and kind of get a little out of phasey in the middle position.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Yeah, this is fun. Like when Jason's playing a Les Paul and I'm playing a Les Paul, I can tap this.
Change it up a little bit.
Yeah, it gives a wider tone range. Yeah, man. And it's not that heavy.
It's remarkably light.
Yeah. Doesn't kill you. Yeah.
It almost feels like it's chambered.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's a great guitar.
I like this.
Badge is always nice
to
see.
Yeah, badge is cool, yeah.
Rad.
Awesome guitar. And this is a Fender Strat, American Standard Strat. It's a few years old. This is obviously my Capo 2 guitar, and we use Thalia capos. Those are really great capos.
What do you like about that capo?
The tension is really good on them, and like when I have to move it after a song,
it doesn't change the tuning.
It really doesn't.
That's great, man.
Maybe just ever so slightly, but.
It's hard to find that. Yeah,
it's okay. You know, this has got custom shop pickups in it. I mainly live in the fourth position on this guitar, and I played this guitar on The Life You Chose, Traveling Alone, and I have a big like slide moment in The Last of My Kind where me and Amanda go back and forth. And
fourth position is like the out of phase.
Yeah, it's like the Sweet Home Alabama.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
It's the strattiest sound of all, like Sultans of Swing.
Yeah, the Knopfler,
sound.
That Knopfler thing for sure.
But I like that position with slide. So, so that's a cool buddy right there. Yeah. So this was new. I guess this is a few years old now, or at least I've had it for a few years. Just look at it. It's awesome.
12 string Rick.
It's a Rickenbacker. And this is a 92 reissue of the 63.
Yeah, these are so
Fire
cool.
Glow, like kind of like the George Harrison.
Are you playing slide on this?
I do play slide on this, and you can see we put some foam in here because I use a compressor when I play that slide part, and so it keeps it from howling feedback.
You don't want to.
These pickups are awesome. They sound great.
I've noticed your bottom strings here are crossed over. Is there a reason for that in particular?
I guess with this with this bridge plate or whatever back here, that's I guess how you have to do that. These strings are the compressed wound strings, which I got at pickoftherix.com.
Pickoftherix.com. That's some dorky stuff.
Yeah, it's some Nerdville stuff. But
did you have to change out the bridge or anything? New nut or anything?
Yeah, I had to change the bridge out because, as you know, these have some intonation issues.
I've heard.
But these strings are great. So if you have a Rick, or I would say even just a Dan Electro 12 string, the compressed wound strings are really good.
That's a fun little tip.
So yeah, they take that kind of bright harshness out.
I always love their tiered pickguard on
these.
It's so cool.
Yeah, and. I thought I would only get one, but I want to get another one now. when you get one, you want another one. So there's the Rick. Starting to acoustic here. This is a Martin HD28, and this belonged to Jason.
Yeah, I think he had it the last time we spoke.
Yep, and it's got the Fishman Aura system in it that sounds really great. Yeah. And I love the herringbone.
So pretty.
I mean, it's just a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, and they always sound so good.
They all, it's a Martin.
It's been that same shape since like what, 1922?
Yeah.
Crazy like that.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a great instrument.
Yeah.
So I like playing that. All right, let's move over here.
Oh.
Here's a new friend.
Is that a Townsend?
This is a Pete Townsend Signature SG Special.
Rule.
It's got Grover tuners on it, which I think kind of help keep it in tune. And
yeah, those seem to hunker in real good.
Yeah, maybe even help the sustain some. I've been playing this one on Cover Me Up, and sometimes a song called Go It Alone. And pickups are great. They're a little hotter P90s, but I like the sound of them. And I found this on Reverb, and the guy was selling it in Murfreesboro, which is like 30 minutes away from Nashville, and so I drove out there. He met me at a Burger King and, played it, liked it, got a value meal, got out of there.
That's a good story.
Yeah. Awesome guitar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This
is an old friend. I love this guitar. I think this is so slick, that Duesenberg trim on a 335 is just so, it's eye-catching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see it and you're like, oh, wow, that's different.
Yeah, and I bought this off Jason. probably 6 years ago, and he put the Duesenberg Tremolo on there. And I just got a Tone Pros bridge with the rolling saddles, so yep. that kind of keeps the bridge
helps
from rocking
tremolo,
back and
yeah.
forth, and yeah, it stays in tune, and yeah.
Yeah, so, I loved that the last time we talked. I thought that was just the coolest.
And I put Ox 4s in it, I think, since the last time, and those pickups sound great. And yeah, this is a 07 block reissue.
Way cool.
Awesome guitar.
Way cool.
Yeah.
And then I guess, what is this, last but not least right here?
Yeah, this is
big old 200.
Newest edition. As of a few weeks ago, Gibson sent this over. This is a brand new J200, and it's got the LR Bags Anthem.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that pickup
yeah,
system.
It sounds pretty cool. I'm somewhere in the middle, like it's got the mic and the pickup.
You can blend the two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I use that with a Fishman DI. And,
yeah, it's hard to get an acoustic guitar to sound like an acoustic guitar live, so sometimes the piezo is a little weird, so I love that they give you the option.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are kind of doing that now, but yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they're only going to sound, in my mind, only going to sound so good without literally having a mic in front.
Right, right.
You know, but it's come a long way. It's like, you know, frozen pizza. I mean, it's just like, it's really good
yeah.
now.
It's so, not delivery, man. It's
yeah. So yeah.
What songs are you playing this on?
So I'm playing this on If We Were Vampires, playing this on a new version of Tour of Duty that we've been doing,
cool.
more of a bluegrass thing. And you know, it sounds really good against Jason when he's playing a Martin.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And of course, big Petty fan, you know, Townsend played these. Noel Gallagher played J200. So yeah, I've just always wanted one.
I love them, man. Yeah. I love how big they sound.
Yeah, it's beautiful guitar, it sounds great. It's fun
Man.
To play. So
you got some fun new stuff.
Yeah,
you got a lot of colors in your palette to paint with, my dude.
Yeah, I mean,
got some P90s. We got some single coils. We got Buckers. And
I feel like everything I have serves.
Yeah,
it serves a different purpose than the other guitar. Like, so I try to apply them. As
needed.
I love
that attention to
yeah.
detail. You had to play this entire set with one of these guitars.
SG,
just because it's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, and I can get some Telly-ish tones out of it in the middle position.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I can pull a show off with that guitar.
If you had to, yeah.
Slide the whole, yeah.
Well, so, I hope you never have to.
Yeah, but knowing.
Interesting aside.
Yeah.
Cool.
Knowing that, yeah, so.
Well,
all right,
I think you've changed a little bit in the amp department and in the pedal department. So let's go take a look at
let's
that.
Let's take a look.
All right, cool. All right, Sadler, the last time, this isn't too different than the
Not
last
too
time
different, no.
we had a setup, but you were running one of those hand-wired AC30s before,
I was,
right?
Yeah.
What's this guy?
So this is a 1965 Vox Pacemaker. It's all-tube version. They made some solid-state versions. And I got this at Emerald City Guitars in Seattle. What's up, Trevor? And me and Jason went in there. We always go in there when we're in Seattle.
Sure.
And we plugged into this thing, and he was standing behind me going, man, I think sounds great. If you don't buy it, I'm going to. And I was like, I guess I'm going to buy it.
I put you on the spot.
Yeah, he put me right on the spot. But I'm very appreciative that he did, because I love this amp. I run it at like volume 4. Above that, it doesn't really get louder. It just kind of gets more saturated, but it just does like the, you know, like jangle rock thing. Like just a Telly and a D chord, just
like
dang.
Johnny Marr kind of like super
it just,
jangly.
Yeah, it just sounds great. It's just a great amp.
And then the third power you had the last time, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like my SG. It's just like I really relate it to it being kind of my sound.
You're used to it, yeah.
Very used to it. Delano Nova, third power. I've had this for 6 years. You know, it's a 59 AC Vox on the first channel and a 68 Plexi on this channel. And we put a stage bug in between the Marshall channel to correct phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because sometimes it, you know, just depends. Like sometimes it's out of phase, but.
Yeah, man, third power really does that blendable two amp in one amp thing so well.
Yeah.
Dual Citizen is amazing. I don't know if you've heard of the Kitchen Sink yet.
I have.
Man, so rad.
Amazing amps. It's got a Celestion Gold speaker in it.
Do you know what's in this old Vox?
What is in there? Let me see.
Is it open? Yeah.
What do we got? It's a Weber.
Cool.
Weber, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally bought that thing and put it in my rig like the same day.
Immediately, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you do with the old hand-wired AC-30 at home or something?
That's a backup.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Right on.
And they're both on all the time.
Yeah, and you're running some effects in stereo, right?
Yep. Like, I got like a reverb and some of my modulation effects are in stereo. And
we got some good amps to do it with, man.
Yeah, and then like when I want just a little more gain or something, I mainly stay on the Vox channel here, depending on the song. And then when I want a little more gain, I just like kick over the Marshall, you
totally.
Know. And then up from there, I'll do a clean boost or a drive or
drive
something.
Drive or something yeah. like that. Cool. Yeah. Speaking of boosts and drives, let's go take a look.
Yeah, let's have a look. Yeah.
Cool. All right, Sadler, what's this? What's this all about, huh?
This is my pedal board. So let's just move on down the line here. And
I love that you got your own Ryman Auditorium pedal board here.
Now let's have a look in here. Just,
ooh.
This is a Ryman laundry bag here.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So I've got a few new things since the last time. Kind of made my setup a little easier. Got a bigger board. Michael Bethencourt, Jason's Tech, and kind of our stage manager. Built this great junction box.
Super clean. Oh, wow, cool.
Up top, and he wired and put this whole thing together. And this is a pedal train. I forget what size it is, but it's a pedal train board. And we'll just go down the chain.
All right.
I just added that Eventide H9 Max.
Those are so fun.
They're really fun.
Yeah, it's
I
so fun.
I know like a lot of people have them now. You kind of see them everywhere, but
you can
like
really tweak it.
Yeah, I like you can kind of personalize and sculpt your own effects.
Right,
and,
right.
And that way you can kind of get out from you know using a preset that everybody else has.
Totally.
You can start there and then sculpt your own thing. And it's really just a nice like added like, oh, you know, like we've been doing a different cover every night. So depending on that, I don't really have like a gated reverb crazy thing
now
or
you
something.
Do.
Just throw it in there, you know, put it in line, a preset, and so it's just there as like a Swiss Army knife.
Totally.
Just kind of one more thing if I needed it. But I don't live on it, so.
So are you dialing in your tone and then saving it as a preset?
Yes.
Kind of toggling between? That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are cool, man. I really think Eventide is one of the better effects. Like
yeah, especially as for far digital as, stuff they're making.
Yeah, like as far as time-based. And like modulation and stuff.
Yeah, you can send a MIDI signal to it. And
yeah,
it all,
it's pretty so cool. great. And then we got just a normal old Dunlop volume pedal there. And I do just some swells and stuff here and
sure.
there with that, or just a kill switch, you know. Let's get out, I don't know the next chord. And then this is a Clyde McCoy Crybaby wah. And you gotta have a wah-wah.
Got to.
Right? Yeah. So, and then let's see, I've got the standard Blue Line 6 MM4.
You've had that sucker a long time.
I've had
time,
it, man.
You know what, people laugh, but those things cover so much ground.
They really do. If it's good enough for Mike Campbell or somebody, it's good enough for me, man. You know, it's all good. I just like that I don't have to scroll between anything.
Right.
Like, I'm not...
You're not banking up or down. It's
That's just
it's
not
doing.
My style, man. I gotta just be able to go... Okay, tremolo, boom.
Right.
You know, and then...
Plus, you probably had it so long, you know exactly what you're hitting.
Yeah, and I haven't really changed much stuff in there. I've got like a slow Leslie, fast Leslie, tremolo, and then kind of a faster pitch vibrato going on there. And then let's look at my drives here. I've got King of Tone. So I got the first channel, the yellow side is like a clean boost. So I got the red side is more of like a, I guess like a tube screamer or something
gotcha,
like that.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You know, does the King of Tone thing. Got the Greer Amps Lightspeed.
What up, Nick?
Yeah.
Nicky makes some awesome stuff, man.
I think that's one of the best pedals like ever, in my opinion. Like, and I see them on a lot of boards now.
Mm, yeah.
In terms of like versatility, man, if you got a backline amp or just whatever, like, throw a light speed on there and you can just dial like a baseline tone and get what
get you
need
in the
out of
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah, and I've got that like the loudness and drive cranked up pretty good and the frequency dialed back. So it's more of like a creamy drive setting. Very versatile pedal. Got a forest green compressor that
Matt Professor?
Yeah, yeah, Matt Professor. I love that compressor. I don't see too many of them out there, but on people's boards, but I love that compressor. It does what I want it to do.
Totally.
I have it like on the sustain setting, so I I've got just like a nice even smack. It's not like killing it,
right.
but just...
I'm not any kind of slide player, but is compression something that is essential for slide?
I think...
Because it feels to me like it would almost be to even you out.
Yeah, I think it evens it out. I think for me and Jason, like, if you don't have compression, you got to have volume.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think just putting a compressor in line on slide just kind of makes it so you can keep your amps lower on stage. Dual analog delay. Love it, because I got a slap and a long one. I mean, it just sounds great. Mike at Analog Man, he's the best. And then I've got this Blue Sky Strymon that I kind of have, because I don't have reverb on my amps.
Right.
So I kind of have just just spring verb, just like a light
standard
spring verb, like as if it's in the amp. And then I have like a long, more like hall verb setting.
Dreamy
there.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then this is my third power channel switcher.
Oh.
This is a Walrus. I think it's the Transit 5, I think that's what it's called. It's just made my life easier.
Right. So you're
exactly. And I've got, these are just all my drives and my compression.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, just in there. And then I just added this Walrus 385 that I have just kind of just cranked up to get like the
give it hell
kind of fuzzy, grainy sound, like maybe like kind of Mark Ford-ish or something.
Okay,
like
gotcha,
that.
Yeah.
And I just added that in this week, and that's been pretty fun to mess with. And then Korg tuner. I like the pitch black tuner. I think they're pretty accurate.
I think, yeah, and you can see them.
You can see them.
Yeah, I love that about this. Yeah. I've had a couple of those myself. And then for your acoustic setup, you're just running this Fishman Aura.
Yeah, this is a Fishman Platinum DI and EQ. And then I've got a Shure wireless system just for the acoustic. So I don't have to deal with the electric cable and then deal with an acoustic cable. I can just put the cable on my stand, grab the acoustic.
That's handy for sure.
And I can roam around and go out in the crowd if I want.
Are you doing that? You going out on the catwalk? You're going to Garth Brooks?
Yeah. That's my pedal world, man.
That's a very clean setup. Michael did a great job on that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's wired well. And then what do you got powering it all before I let you go?
Michael, what do we got power? Walrus power.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, right on. Sadler, it's a pleasure to talk to you again,
man.
My dude.
Thanks, Perry.
Yeah, we're going to grab Jimbo and talk to him.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys, last but not least, we got Jimbo here, the man that actually puts the unit in the 400 unit. This dude's a bad MF-er, but right out of the gate, this is totally different. What's this situation?
Yeah, so this is a Sadowski Will Lee model. It has a lot of nice upgrades to it. It has a flame maple fretboard and these wild black abalone inlays and a hip shot detuner.
That's nice.
That's a whole step detuner. But Jason Newstead of formerly of the rock and roll band Metallica, gave me this bass guitar.
I gotta ask you how you met Jason Newstead of all people.
He came to our show. We played at the Grand Ole Opry for New Year's a couple of years ago, and he came and hung out, and we made friends. And over the next couple of years, he came to a few shows, and one night in California, he was there, and he just told me that, you know,
that is
here, take this.
That is a trip.
Yeah, so I've taken it, and it's become my main bass because it has so many tonal possibilities.
Yeah.
And it plays so well, and it just, it's so light.
It's pretty looking.
It's a beautiful bass.
Yeah, all right, so run me through these controls.
Okay, it has a volume control and a pickup pan control, like a standard passive bass. And then he has Roger's vintage tone control, which is like a regular passive tone control. It acts just like a regular tone control. And then there's the bass and treble EQ.
Oh, that's so handy to have it right at your fingertips.
I believe they're boost only too, so I just use them mostly all the way down, and then sometimes, like if I lean toward the bridge pickup a little bit, I'll add some bass. And but that's about it. I don't really run the preamp very hot at all.
What's your little toggle do?
The toggle there is a nice little mid boost.
Oh, cool.
And I believe it's dialed in at 1K, and it really gives it a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets louder, and it's awesome.
So
I use
cool.
it for the sort of cello-y parts on Vampires.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Vampires,
Man, I love what Roger's doing. He makes some really great basses, but
yeah.
Jason Newsted would be the last person I expected you to like.
Yeah,
know
me too.
And be friends with. That's so cool.
When I met him, it was so crazy. I mean, and still, every time we talk, my inner 12-year-old wants to smash the coffee table.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so rock and roll, and he's still completely just rock and fucking roll, man.
You ever be talking to Jason and be like, oh, hold on, Newsted's calling. Walk off and take the call.
Well, you know.
That's so funny.
It's happened, I think, a couple times.
That rules. Man. Well, that's cool that you can learn something from a totally different kind of player than yourself.
Yeah, and he's got a band now called The Chop House, and they're really sweet, swell fellas, and they're a good band. And
rules.
Yeah, they're awesome folks, man.
Are you still playing with wooden picks?
Well, I still have them. But now I keep them in my studio, or I'll take them to sessions because I just like them a whole lot, and I didn't want to lose them.
I get that, totally.
But the folks at Dunlop hooked us up with Jimbo picks. I don't know if you guys can see that, but it says Jimbo on it.
Just do it.
And yeah, so I'll use those now for sure.
So are you on this bass pretty much all night?
Pretty much all night.
And the other's just a backup in case
something. It's a backup, and for a while I was kind of switching back and forth. It's another Sadowski. It's a late
PJ
classic
kinda,
blue
yeah.
vintage PJ.
Looks like the similar preamp kind of thing though.
Yeah, it's the same preamp except without the mid boost.
That's cool.
And it's amazing. It also has so many tonal options going on. And I've also found that when I take that one to the studio, it always works really well.
Sits in real well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So
it records like a dream.
Are you going between picks and your fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I figured that would probably be the case.
It's a bit all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. You can get so many different you know, sounds. Yeah. And I think the last time we talked, weren't you running flat wounds?
Yeah. On the P basses.
Yeah.
And I still have the old fenders and the flats on them and everything.
Yeah.
And
nice and thuddy.
Not to say a whole lot more about Roger, but he also makes a hell of a set of flat wounds that are really
Sadowski strings, huh?
Yeah, and I put them on all my fenders, and they really, really rule.
That's awesome.
They feel nice and sound nice and have a nice tension to them and brightness. And
yeah, I'm always stoked to see what he's got at NAMM because he makes some really cool stuff.
Yeah, he's really good, man, and a really sweet fellow, too.
Well, so this part of the equation has changed a whole lot, but you're still running the Ashdowns.
Yeah, I'm still using the Ashdowns. They're still working. They don't break, which has been good. You know, I've never had a problem out of any of them. They sound great. They take pedals pretty well. They're not too hypey in the low end, so it doesn't cloud up the stage too much.
Right.
But it still sounds
kind of
like
find
bass.
Your sonic space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're not running both of these. Wait, it's a 100 and a 300. Are you running them?
Yeah, I have a 100 and a 300, and I mostly just use the 300, and occasionally I'll switch to the 100 for a brighter sound, or if I'm just feeling the need to have a different tone that day, I'll go there
instead.
If
the room sounds kind of different or something. Yeah, I get that.
It's good to have a different option sometimes.
Yep.
But this is
Howard the Duck here.
Yeah, I still have Howard. Howard was one of my favorite movies when I was
mine
a kid.
Too. I watched it like 10 million times. My mom actually threw the tape away and told me that it broke. She was so sick of watching it.
That's so
it was like my favorite movie when I was a kid. That and the Goonies.
Yeah, well, my mom wouldn't let me rent the thing more than once or twice.
Oh yeah, I get it.
You know, so.
So funny.
It's kind of crazy how dark that movie was.
It was very dark,
but in a sort of comic.
Dude gets possessed by a demon and all this. It's like a kid's movie.
Sci-fi going on, all kind of crazy business.
Oh, man.
But, and then what I really love most about my rig is this shelf here that our tech, Michael Bethencourt.
Mr. Back and Forth has hooked it up.
Mr. Back and Forth built this for me, and there's a radial head bone switcher for the two heads.
For the heads, sure.
And then basically from the pedal board, it comes into here to this Exotic X Blender. And
I'm guessing that's a fuzz, like a tone blender kind of thing?
It's like a parallel loop.
Oh, okay.
It's like a wet dry loop. And on this thing, I have the Effectrode PC2A compressor to sort of get that optical compression, the big poofy, breathy, puffy kind of thing. But I don't run it very hard. I just blend in this thing's at about 10 o'clock right now.
Gotcha.
And then from there, it all winds up going to my lovely old Noble DI here.
Yeah, these are
This one's number 19.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding?
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. It's so good.
You'd almost have to have this in a rack because these 12AX7s are exposed and
stuff.
Yeah,
they're sticking out the back a little bit.
Yeah.
But even when it wasn't on a shelf, oddly, I never had any trouble. Problem. I mean, I baby it.
Of course.
You know, I mean, it's hand wired point-to-point.
Right.
Jack, you know, he's a lovely
basically fella. Like studio outboard gear, right?
I mean, yeah,
that's
totally.
That's a real deal.
When I come home and I go to the studio, I always go to our shop and take this thing off the shelf and go home and work.
Right,
and
yeah.
When I come back, I'll put it back on the shelf and go back out on the road.
This is a unique feature. I don't know if you can see it on camera. I'll try to get a really good picture for you. But these little plates, so you can twist in, you get it set perfect,
yeah,
and then lock it in.
These are from Tapestry Audio, the folks that make the Bloom, the volume pedal. They're like little knob locks.
It's handy.
I don't know if they still make them, but they did a few years ago, and I bought a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, that's real, real handy.
And I figured it's really neat because you can tighten the set screw down to lock it, or you can let it go, or you can get them sort of medium tight, and it turns it into like a detented pot.
Ah.
So you can click it a little bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So you got a whole notch choice like a notch range pot. Of motion. It kind of changes the whole pot setup.
Cool.
But yeah, that's sort of the brains of the operation there, the Noble.
And then the last thing over here before you get into your pedal board is this cab.
Yeah, it's an Ashdown 610. I believe it's from their custom shop. They put this red grill cloth on it for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty rad.
I think a 610 is a good sounding.
It is.
Compromise. It's not gonna kill you.
Yeah, and being kind of a vertically challenged fellow such as myself. When you stand in front of an 810, those
right
top two 10s hit you right in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And then the ones below that are like right here at the back of your shoulders. So like you can't even turn it on without deafening yourself. And also I find that the low end is bigger with a 610 cabinet.
Really?
Than an 810, or at least what I can hear in my little world.
I wonder if it's the shape of the cabinet.
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe it's the dimension of it.
I was going to say, because these are a lot deeper than a SVT.
Yeah, they are a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it, man. I love the Ashdown stuff. It's good.
Cool. Well, I'm stoked for you that you, are friends with Jason Newsted and also found a new bass that you love. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I'm definitely blessed.
Right. Before we get out of here, because I know y'all got a sound check and all that, let's go take a look at your board.
All right, cool.
All right, Jimbo, here we are in your pedal world, which is, I always like your pedal board because you got a lot more pedals than most bass players.
Yeah,
do.
I have way too many buttons.
Yeah.
John Prine told me one time that I have too many buttons.
Well, if John Prime says it, yeah.
But I'm just ignorant like that, so I keep plowing ahead with all these buttons.
I get it.
But, yeah, I've got a lot going on. And the first up, just like Saddler's board over there, Michael Bethencourt made me a junction box here.
Love that.
That has all sorts of things going on. It has like an emergency and in case of emergency break glass output.
No shit
that's
switch.
Just
yeah,
like
yeah.
Straight out of the board.
You can turn the buffer on and off. That's cool.
Yeah, you can turn the buffer on and off. It's really great. That sort of tidied everything up a lot. And but so I guess first off, I've got this Peterson here that's coming off the volume pedal. But actually the volume pedal is last in the chain.
Ah.
Because well, there's just all sorts of reasons, but most importantly, when I go to the EBS, it doesn't like to see a fading input.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So the oscillators won't grab onto it.
Won't track properly.
So I need to fade in a big octave note. I can't really, it won't track it until it's full volume.
Interesting workaround. Yeah.
So I wound up having to put the volume pedal at the end of the chain. But anyway, so I guess first up would be I'll use this Transit here from Walrus.
Walrus, yeah, that's such a clean board.
Yeah.
Michael did the whole board too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Michael built this board, and like everything he does, it's very clean work.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
It's very super clean business right
made,
there, yeah.
Made all the cables and everything. But I guess the chain, I guess I should mention that the board is also a pedal train.
Cool.
I believe it's a classic, or a PT1 from the classic line. And so first up would be the Soma preamp from Greer Amps. Nick sent me that and told me that I would love it, and he was right.
And he was right. Nick's usually right about everything I've ever asked
him. He is. And
that dude is a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to do, but I know that when I set it for myself, I can back off on the volume a bit, and it almost gives it that sound like your amp is too loud and the speaker's like wanting to bust.
It kind of
has that grunt thing. And so I use that for that sort of thing. And oddly enough, that tone seems to blend really well with our more acoustic heavy numbers.
Oh, really?
Which you would think you would need a bigger, cleaner,
like round,
rounder bottom end, but that sort of amp, small amp dying sound actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
In the context. So I use it for that kind of stuff. And then from there, I go into this Walrus Voyager.
Which is a super fun pedal.
It is a super fun pedal. I love the sort of little bit of compression that it does. Mm. It just does this thing. It just makes it a little bigger and meaner.
Thickens you up a little bit.
Yeah, a little more in the top end, but it doesn't really affect the bottom in a negative kind of way at all. So that really rocks. And then I have the Ampeg Classic Pre. And I put that on there because I used to use Ampeg amps, and I got so used to the ultra-low switch.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of our older material was recorded with an Ampeg with the ultra-low or toured with an Ampeg with the ultra-low.
So that basically gives you that ability.
Yeah, sure. And that's pretty much what I use that for. And surprisingly, it stays on
a lot. Is it on all the time pedal?
It's on about 70% of the
night. Oh,
wow. Yeah. And, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we go to the Walrus Janus that Michael Bethencourt, again, has modified for me so that it can be changed from a horizontal orientation to a vertical.
So you can fit it on there?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And one, he had to get in there and change the polarity on the joystick so that it would have the axis, the same XY axis as if I were... As if it were still
the other way. Sure. Yeah. Now, you've had this on your board a long time. I can't believe you haven't kicked off one of those little knobs yet.
They don't come off.
They're sturdy, huh?
That's one of the sturdiest pedals on my board. I've never had a problem with them.
Man, that's a trip.
I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I can break the hell out of that.
This thing's done.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 days on the road and that's toast. But no, years later, I'm still standing on it.
That's
when I use
trip.
It.
And how much are you changing those little knobs?
Well, I don't really change the knobs so much, but like some songs I'll put it on the Vox sounding side where it's a little more subtle and kind of get it in tempo and it just sort of undulates a little bit with the band.
Like gives it a heartbeat kind of.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'll put it up here where it's going really fast on that subtle side, so it's kind of almost a Leslie effect.
Right.
And then sometimes when it needs to be heard, it goes back to the other side, and then that's when it gets pretty noticeable.
Yeah. Well, you've been using it long enough that you've kind of got it dialed into exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a minute.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. That's a very odd pedal to be on a bass player.
It is. Yeah. And even there's something weirder on here I'll get into in a second, but I don't use the fuzz side of this
right.
at all because... It's as awesome as it is, it's completely unpredictable. So if you don't know where the joystick is on the fuzz side, you go to kick it on. For a bass player in our situation,
you need a consistent kind of fuzz.
I need to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just don't even bother with it. But I do love the tremolo, and I've been after them for a while to just cut that thing in
just
half.
Fit it on your board.
If you guys are listening, Colt, you need to cut this thing in half. You'll sell twice as many of them. Anyway, so from there we go to the EBS Octobass, and that one is the studio edition, and I think the only difference is maybe the switch is clickless.
Oh, okay.
And
silent switching.
And I think it might have like a few dB more gain overall output, but other than that, it's pretty much the exact same.
Those Swedish guys make some really cool stuff, man.
Yeah, they're really cool folks, man. I've talked to them on occasion, and they've always been really nice to me, so I'm really happy with it. And that's the second one of those I've had, and I got that one because I wanted to take my other one home, so I could
have
one
at
home in the studio.
Are you using that for a higher octave, or like?
No, it's a lower octave.
It is?
Yeah, and eventually I would like to maybe get another one. Ooh. And have it set to where it's a little more subtle, kind of on the drier side, just barely there to make
just
to it
feel a real
just make it rumble a little more. But this one's set to the your typical like big synthy.
Gotcha.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's cool. And then I think the last pedal is that a Maleco?
It is. It's a Maleco spring reverb.
Oh, just a little verb. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something every bass player has on their
absolutely.
Board.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know any bass players.
Why leave home without
verb.
Your verb if you play the bass?
You crack me up, man.
But I use it for one song, actually two songs. Most noticeably, I use it on If We Were Vampires for the cello sounding part. And that involves, again, the mid boost that's on the Sadowski bass and this Dunlop volume pedal here. A lot of swelling in and out of it. And it that thing really, really brings something out of that mid boost. And I was just looking for a small reverb pedal that would fit on my board for that one song. But since I've started using that one, I love how simple it is, and it really sounds great.
Yeah, they sound good, and they don't take up a ton of room, which I love.
Yeah, and it's pink.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I dig it. I mean, it's such a Michael Bethencourt is worth his weight in gold.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a great setup. Yeah. It's super clean.
It's clean. And if something goes wrong, we know what's up with it.
Totally.
You know, so it's good to have the man in the house who built it.
Not only that, he's building you bypasses or whatever you need to suit the situation.
Sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's really our secret weapon in a lot of ways.
He's great. Michael, if you're watching this.
We love you.
Good on you, man.
We love you a lot.
Well, Jimbo, thank you so much for taking the time
talk
to us.
Yeah.
Love doing this again.
Anytime.
Next time your gear changes at all, please give us a call.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
I'm so excited for the show tonight.
Things are always changing, you know. I believe that for sure, that you know, you should always keep
I feel like real gearheads are always tweaking.
You're always looking for
Corey Brandon, his board changes every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, dude, just let it alone for a minute.
And then there's those guys that don't even use boards at
all.
They just have a bag of pedals, and they throw them on the floor and plug them up, and you go, you know, and that works for whatever, you know. But,
totally. Yeah. I guess tone, just like art, is relative.
Yeah.
So what works for you works for you.
For sure, man. I feel, again, I'm blessed, man.
You got a great gig.
Loving life.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you guys for letting me talk to you.
Absolutely.
I'm flattered.
We don't get to talk to a lot of bass players with wacky pedal setups, so it works for us.
Oh, cool.
Guys, thanks so much for watching.
Cheers.
Stay tuned for other rig rundowns, riff rundowns, video lessons, all that fun stuff. You're already online. Click subscribe. Might as well do it. You can also subscribe to the magazine and have it sent right to your house. See you later.
Cool. I didn't know that.